Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Big Ticket Variety and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, I sit down with Issa Rae. We met up at the Manhattan Beach production offices of her hit HBO show, Insecure, to talk about her starring role opposite Lakeith Stanfield in the new romantic drama, The Photograph. Rae plays a New York City museum curator who falls for a magazine writer, played by Stanfield, when he reaches out to her to talk about a photograph taken by her late mother. Rae opens up about who and what inspired her to be a filmmaker, the time she waited on Michelle Pfeiffer and David E. Kelly when she was a waitress in college, and what she thinks about superhero movies. I'll have that and more after the break. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Now here's Issa Rae.
Make sure it's working. How are you?
I'm good. Just editing.
Yeah.
Things are just...
I didn't even know this existed in Manhattan Beach.
This was like David E. Kelly's old studio. He used to do all his stuff here.
Got a little Ally
McBeal. Got a little Ally McBeal.
Is a little baby around?
Going on. The dancing baby?
Yes.
I don't think so. Avatar is, though.
Wow.
They're like all the sequels are being shot here, apparently, too.
Really?
Yeah. And some, Mandalorian. So a lot of stuff.
Baby Yoda.
Out of here. I don't know why I'm advertising for
they
this.
They should have a Baby Yoda parking spot. I'm just saying. So how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I mean, like winding down, but then winding up. You know, right. We just finished shooting Insecure. Then we all had the little holiday break where the industry shuts down. And then it just feels like stuff has been kind of nonstop.
But you went on vacation. I remember I read somewhere you said you were going to France or something.
Yeah, I went to France, but I was still writing. Yeah. It was cool. I'm not cultured, and I thought that I was in the south of France when I was in Monaco. And Monaco is expensive as fuck.
So did you gamble?
Hell no, because gambling was just walking out on the street and trying to find food that wasn't $100. So yes, I guess I did.
Okay, let's talk about The Photograph.
Yes.
When did I see it? Yes. Did I see it yesterday?
You saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, they've been doing screenings. That's right.
It's beautiful. It's such a... You and Lakeith got that chemistry.
Lakeith is just easy to fall in love with.
Did you know you have that chemistry on screen right away?
Absolutely not. Yeah. You just don't know. No. You don't.
I was like, absolutely.
That's... No. I think we'd met, you know, doing a Jay-Z shoot.
Yeah.
In 2017, and that was the first time. And obviously, I watch Atlanta. I'm a fan of his, and we're mutual friends and say hi and bye. But this was the most time we spent together, and it was like getting to know each other through as characters and then as people.
Did you do a chemistry read with him, or was sort of
yes?
Like,
so we did do that.
Oh, tell me about that.
And so yes, I did a chemistry read with a couple of guys, and obviously Stella was watching, and Will Packer. And then you still just never know.
Right.
And he was definitely the most interesting read out of all the guys. Like, he had a different type of energy, and that's what blew them away.
So tell me so first, give us a little summary. Give us the log line. The Photograph.
The log line of The Photograph. The Photograph is about... I should be better at this. This is my first test. It is a multi-generational love story. About a woman who loses her mother but discovers her life through a photograph and letters.
Mm.
It's kind of, it should be called The Photograph and That Letter.
And what are the two letters?
Two letters.
Two letters.
The Photograph and the two letters. But I guess that was just not catchy.
What's beautiful about it, one, The Photograph. Because I was thinking about this. So, like, The Photograph, you guys... find.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a real photo.
The photography in this is beautiful. I think Stella discovered like a grad student to do the actual photography for the film.
Wow.
And when I was in the actual exhibit, I wanted every piece. It's just so stunning.
Mm.
So yes, the photograph itself, I believe it's the one of Alan, who plays Isaac, is gorgeous, but Alan is extremely photogenic, so it's kind of
unfair. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I think everyone in this movie is photogenic.
Everyone is photogenic?
Yeah.
I mean, we're on a film. I guess we have to be.
But what also I was thinking was like, eventually we're going to not find old photos. Think about it. You're going to have like, oh, I found a hard drive. Let's go look on my hard drive.
And
And then you have to print the photo out. Who's going to take the time to print it out and try to find out the
story? I just did that because, you know, I moved into a home and I was like, oh, I have to put pictures up. And they're only, I've never printed photos. And it felt so archaic. And but it was so fast. I just did it online and then it was ready to pick up at like CVS or Walgreens. Right. But yeah, you're right. I guess, they're just going to be super rare. Like there's going to be a museum of photographs of the ones that haven't disintegrated or something.
Because there's something romantic about the hard photograph.
You did it. Look at you. That's the tagline There's something romantic about
an old photograph.
Yeah, it's true.
So what appealed to you? What did you like? So you play May.
I play May.
You're an assistant curator at the Queens Museum in Flushing Meadow Park. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you actually shot there.
Yes, we did. Is that's in Queens?
That's in Queens.
Yeah, we shot the World Fair at the Yes. Yes. Yes.
And my high school prom was in that park.
Oh, really? It's beautiful.
There's a place called Terrace on the Park. I don't know if it's still there.
I don't.
And it's one of those buildings that's all legs and the restaurant's on the top of it.
There was something. No, I think that's something that they tore down or they're rebuilding.
Yeah, but I saw something. That's where I had my high school prom.
Oh, wow. That seems really romantic. Because it was kind of desolate when we shot there. It was very cold.
I grew up in Queens. Mm-hmm. So when I grew up there, that park, we knew it as the World's Fair because of that big globe thing they have there. And then there's an ice skating rink. My dad would take me to ice skating.
Can you actually ice skate?
There was a rink. I don't know if it's still there.
But can you physically ice skate?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was so scared of falling and getting my fingers chopped off.
Yes, that's it. Ice skating is the most dangerous, leisurely activity.
It's not leisurely.
Not at all. It's stressful. It's a blood sport. Yeah.
So you shot on location there.
We shot on location, and that's also what I loved about it. And I think what drew me to it was, I didn't even know that it was set in New York, but I think the love story element, just missing romantic dramas. Mm-hmm. Especially Black romantic dramas. We haven't seen those in such a long time. And I think for me, it just kind of invigorated something in me where I was like, wow, there's a nostalgia here. And the part that she wants me to play isn't one that I would typically play. And mm-hmm. so that excited me too. In addition to the writing, Stella's just such a wonderful writer. And I think the script itself was just so enthralling, and I just, it's so magical, and I had worked with her as a director on my own show and couldn't wait to work with her again.
So writer and director.
She's a writer-director.
Wow.
Yeah.
How important, or maybe important's not the right word. It's a woman writer-director.
Yeah.
Woman of color writer-director.
Mm-hmm. Who knows what she wants and has a very specific vision mm-hmm. that, you know, I admire, and I think for me it was about just being able to execute someone else's vision. Mm-hmm. She had come on my show to kind of execute mine and just really had insightful thoughts even then. And I think to then step into her world with, you know, her point of view was really exciting to me.
How hard is it for you to be directed that way? Do you want to take control of it? Do you want to say, no? Or are you able to sit back and...
I'm super able to sit back during the process. Mm-hmm. It's the after the process where I'm like, what are you doing? What's, how did you cut that? You know?
Right.
And I have to let go of that for sure. But I don't ask those questions to the parties whose projects I'm a part of. But I have found, because I've only done, now 4 movies. Two of those I've kind of had a hand in, you know. But I think performance-wise, like, I'm just like, do it the way that you want to do it and use me to execute it the way that you want to execute it.
And drama. This was more drama for you than you usually do.
It sure was. We have some drama in Insecure, but not like this.
Not like this. It's different. How hard was that, or inspiring, or nerve-wracking?
I think more nerve-wracking than anything. But it's interesting because even my approach was like, this woman has lost her mother and she's trying to mask it, because I think people who lose people, they don't want everybody. I mean, at least people who aren't content with being victims, they're just like, I don't want you to feel this burden, so I'm masking it. Mm. But Stella also wanted there to be a light. She didn't want it to feel heavy.
Mm.
So it was also that balance of trying not to make it feel too heavy and a downer, because this is a love story.
Well, I love when it's not a spoiler. You're at somewhere that is heavy with memories and history, and you're wearing that gold sunflower dress.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed, like, not that it was in contrast to the scene, but it definitely, it gave May a different look. It was a different look for her. We saw her, like, sort of in power outfits.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, she was in this just very simple gold dress in a scene that could be very heavy.
Yeah.
And it gave it some light.
Yeah, she was dressed down a bit in New Orleans, which was the vibe that Stella wanted too. It's like going to the country. You can't bring your power suits. Nobody's checking for your power suits.
No, because when we first see you, you walk out of that black sedan.
Oh yeah,
you're in the brown, white and brown. It's almost like it looks like a cape thing.
Okay,
and that is power.
It's an insurance.
I think it's a Prada bag, maybe.
It might be.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. I should have. But yeah, that was actually, I don't know if I can say this, but that was one of our reshoot days.
Like
that.
Really?
We shot that entrance to open the.
It's a great entrance.
Thank you so much. It was worth those reshoot days.
You got the locks what's up. Down to like below your shoulder.
Yeah, the hair was also new to me. Like having this type of hair. I like to switch my hair up in all of my projects, and this was definitely a Stella specific hairstyle.
I was going to ask you, how much of discussion was that?
Not much. I feel like I got duped. I thought we were doing one thing, and then it was like, oh, no, it's this. And I was like, oh, okay, bet. This is May. And then it actually helped, you know, to kind of embody that character more.
Do you walk differently?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You do walk differently. You look different. I mean, you examine the room differently.
Hmm.
You feel different. Like, yeah.
Let's talk about it being a black love story.
Yeah.
And not seeing that often. Do you remember like the first time you saw a black love story on screen?
The first time I saw a black love story on screen the one that I remember impacting me as a kid was in a TV show, and that was Whitley and Dwayne in A Different World.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved, like, I was in love with Dwayne Wayne. Kadeem Hardison was part of his little fan club. And then on screen, the biggest one that impacted me was Love and Basketball.
Yeah.
But I'd seen movies like Jason's Lyric and Love Jones and things like that. But that was the one that really.
Why?
Because it was in my neighborhood in L.A. It was a story about like a tomboy who played basketball, which I identified with. You know, Omar Epps was gorgeous. Sanaa Lathan was just in every woman in a way that I hadn't seen before, a relatable black woman.
Right.
And then just behind the scenes, it was directed and written by a black woman, Gina Prince Bythewood. And it just felt so grounded, you know, and it was just a regular love story that wasn't rooted in any kind of trauma. It wasn't rooted in any major deceptions, right. You know.
The tropes that we usually see when it's people of color on screen.
Exactly. And it was like it had coming of age elements that, you know, we hadn't seen in a while. Or I don't know that I had seen ever outside of like a Crooklyn by Spike Lee. So it made an impact on me, and it made me want to be a filmmaker.
Wow. So that's an impact. That's not just an impact. That's an impact.
That was the impact for sure.
Wow. Okay, now we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, find out what happened when Ray waited on Michelle Pfeiffer and David E. Kelly when she was a waitress in college. Plus, find out about her business foray into the coffee shop business and what she thinks about superhero movies. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Now here's more of Issa Rae. What told you that, you know what, I'm going to be a filmmaker when we don't see a lot of black women out there who are, you know, running their own show, being the showrunner, writing, directing, being the star? What told you that you could do it?
Because I grew up during a time when that was pretty common. You know, the 90s had lots of black television and film and not many, but a lot of the shows were helmed by black people, you know? And I think for me, that's what inspired me to at least try it in middle school. Like, oh, let me try to write a little teleplay. And then seeing a movie like Love and Basketball and being influenced by Spike Lee made me feel like there's a shot.
Right.
And I think I lost a little bit of hope of that in college, which is when of that content, it started disappearing. You stopped seeing that. And then I was just like so mad by the representation of a lot of black people and black women, particularly on screen, that I was just like, this is not all we are. We're not just contestants vying for Flavor Flav's love. Like, that's not all black women are. And there have to be alternative representations for this. And that's when I felt like I want to represent that.
But do you get disappointed when you look at a day like this? It's where one black woman is nominated for an Oscar out of all the acting categories.
Of course I get bummed out and irritated, but it's just, I'm also just tired of having these conversations. Right. And it's like, will we be satisfied next year if there are more nominations? Right. And does that really represent the fact that the Academy is changing or actually diverse? Like, it's just like we get these little carrots here and there. Yeah. And I'm tired of those conversations. All I can do is like either discredit the Oscars as a non-objective party to merit film or buy into it and just be like, oh, maybe they weren't, those films weren't worth nominating. Right. But I think it's a tired conversation.
Yeah, no, I tell, obviously I work at Variety, so we talk about it a lot. And I've asked a lot of people, like, what's the answer? And there's no answer.
There's no answer.
There's no magic something. The thing that I keep thinking about is, and I've said this, and I've said, I take some responsibility. Mm. Like, I have to support these films more, And it's not supporting films just because it's people of color in the film.
Yeah, 100%.
They're good films, And my thing that I keep talking about is Lupita in Us.
Like, that's enough. I was like, y'all didn't see Us?
Right.
Did y'all not see her?
She should have been nominated twice. She played two roles.
In every way. Like, if that is, to me, the embodiment of a performance.
Right.
Like, and to not have that be recognized in any way is psychotic to me, but what can I do about it besides
keep going?
And keep going and maybe join the Academy, but I don't feel like doing that. Yeah.
I mean, and I when Us premiered, it premiered at South By in March. And my first story I wrote was Lupita Nyong'o is going to be an Oscar nominee. And I was like, wait a minute, I didn't keep that conversation going.
But they made a liar out of you. You still did your part.
Yeah.
You did your part.
But I wanted to do, I realized I should have done more, And it's, listen, I'm not going to cure the ills of, the voters. But I feel like I should have done more and kept that conversation going. Or, Alfre Woodard with Clemency. I mean, that movie, what she does in that performance. And I think what happens is, if these movies don't get the buzz right away, we start looking at the movies that have the big marketing budgets.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of it as well. But
I mean, I'm hopeful because it's obviously things have changed in the last few years and there's going to be bumps along the way.
There are a lot of bumps. And I still say this, like, I feel like we're always in these cycles. Like, this is not the first time this has happened.
Right.
This won't be the last time. We'll see what the Oscars do next year with the attention and ears and eyes of so many people.
Right.
But then, then conversely, you have people being like, oh, now they're the Affirmative Action Awards, And so it's just you can't win anyway.
Okay, tell me more about Lakeith. Tell me what is he like on set? I mean, I've interviewed him a bunch of times. He's definitely introverted when he's on a carpet.
Relatable. He's an artist. Like, that's how I can describe him. He's an endearing weirdo. He is like so fun to watch, just even in the choices that he makes. He's so brave. Like, he's fearless to me.
Right.
And I think working with him has inspired me in so many ways. And then just watching him in so many other projects, he really likes to become who he's supposed to be in a very admirable way. But I love him. And I think he's phenomenal and is going to be here for a very long time. Yeah, if he wants to be, because yeah, he also amazing. Could be like, nah, fuck this, I'm out.
And I know you've said that. How many seasons have you planned out for Insecure?
Oh, you tried to catch me, but I haven't said it yet. I just know that there's an ending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know how many?
Yeah, I've always known. Yeah. Me and Prentice have talked about it.
Doesn't that make you sad? You know when it's ending?
Not really. but no, I do. I love working on the show. I love the cast. I love every part of it. But I love when stories finish.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, they don't try to overstay their welcome.
Right. Do you think TV offers more opportunity for yes. diversity and inclusion? And why is that?
Well, the mass of shows that are coming out,
there are so many.
And I think cable's unattachment to ratings in so mm-hmm. many instances allows for shows to grow and to right. get niche audiences and things like that. And streaming networks, I'd imagine, too. Outside of Netflix, which cancels their shit after like 2 seasons. What is that? but yeah, I think that there's just more of an opportunity there to take chances and risks. And I think that's where I want to be long term. Like, I watch a lot of TV. I used to be a big film buff and go to the movies, like, you know, every week, every other mm-hmm. week. And now I love TV so much.
Are you ever watching? Because I know this happens to me and my husband. We're like sitting there, like, there's nothing on TV. I'm like,
there's everything on TV.
Everything on TV. But then there are days where I'm just like, and I love that you're not like just TV. You're not just movies. You're investing in a cafe in Inglewood. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yes. I am part owner of a coffee shop called Hilltop. There's one location in Inglewood that we just opened up and one in View Park and another one that's opening in Eagle Rock. And it's just really a space for community and creatives. Mm. You know, I have always wanted to open a coffee shop just because that's where I always work, like to get out the house, to get out my mom's house, to get out of my cramped up New York apartment. Like mm-hmm. They just made me feel productive and right. working around other people, meeting other people there. So it just felt like and Inglewood specifically at the time, now there are many coffee shops, but it just didn't have places to go when I lived there. So it was just, I hated having to leave my neighborhood to right. go work.
Did you ever think you'd be in the coffee shop business?
This is something I wanted to do. If I weren't doing the entertainment thing, I would want a restaurant or to really? Be a waitress. I always say,
wait, you would want to be a waitress or own a restaurant?
I would take either. I would yeah. either own a restaurant if things were going okay and if I was capable. But if I were a waitress or bartender, I'd be set. I'd be happy.
Did you ever waitress?
Yes, I love waitressing.
Where'd you waitress?
The Counter Burger that opened in Palo Alto when I was in college. So I got really? To see the restaurant from the ground up because I was one of the first employees there. And
the sweet potato fries are so good.
Sweet potato fries are amazing. I don't know how I wasn't like obese during that time, because I used to get the apple pie milkshakes, like all that kind of stuff. And it was discounted. Shit, it's bomb. But yeah, like I actually... Because it's the interacting with
were
people.
Were you a good waitress?
I was a great waitress. I had Michelle Pfeiffer once and David E. Kelly. They were my table.
Full circle.
Full circle. In his studio.
You're like, David, remember me?
Yeah, hey, you remember you didn't tip? No, it sucks because they accidentally took the receipt, so I didn't even get my tip from them. And I wonder.
Oh, no tip. You got no tip.
I got no tip because they took the receipt. And I was I wonder if. I wonder if this was a method. If it was intentional.
Wow. So this is before or after Ally McBeal?
This was after. So like you were balling. I'm going to expose them.
So what's next for you? Coffee after coffee shops. What do you got next?
I have another movie coming out. Yeah.
With Kumail?
Yes.
Which everyone were dying when they released. Was it the teaser, the trailer the other day? We were all dying.
That's amazing. Yes.
Because I love him.
He's so great and so funny. And I'm so, like, whether he wants to be or not, we're lifelong friends after this project.
How much did you break while you were shooting? How do you?
Every single time. It's hard because he just has so many, he's like a vault of one-liners and he's mm-hmm. so witty and has a response for everything that will catch you off guard. Just right. It's like, oh, I got you. It's like, nope, he has something else. So he's just incredibly funny and such a talented, smart writer as well. And a developer, like he in development, he has a great eye and he's a good listener. He's meant to be here.
And thirst traps for life. I mean,
I was there from the beginning. Can I say, I mean, obviously I'm not Emily, I'm not his wife, but I was there when he was getting that body right.
Really?
Like when he was just starting in the beginning stages, when he knew he had to get ripped. And it was,
and he got
so ripped. He had an archetype. Like he was like, I know this is what I want to look like. And he did it. He did above and beyond that.
I know. I literally got so many texts from friends going, is this real? Is this really him?
It looked like
is
Photoshop really body.
Yeah.
But he's earned it. Even when we had to do some reshoots, he was lean and he was like swole and he was eating protein bars and protein. And I was just like, I'm so jealous.
When do you want to play a superhero? Would you want to do a superhero movie?
I was talking about that. If it were like existing, I don't know. I'm not going to block any blessings, but I am tired of them. Because I'm a huge, since the third grade, I've loved Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like comic books, memorabilia, everything. But I'm just like, they are oversaturating my guy to death.
Yeah, they are.
So, I don't know. But would I take one on that I liked? Yes, absolutely. An existing franchise, but not. I don't think I'd do anything new.
You could open superhero coffee shops.
Ooh, I should make a themed superhero coffee shop.
You're amazing. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
This is so great. Thanks for a day at the beach.
Please,
loved
thank
it.
You for having me. I'm sorry that it's so, it's not gloomy. It's actually
no,
really
it's not gloomy.
Else.
It's beautiful
it was
out.
Not gloomy yesterday, and no. I think I carried that energy today.
Congratulations on the photograph.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you
really, it's just a beautiful love story. Like I said, the chemistry between you and Lakeith, as soon as the two of you are interacting, you're like, okay.
Thank you.
It's good.
Thank you
it's
so good. Much.
Well, thank you for everything. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks. That was Issa Rae. Her new film, The Photograph, is in theaters on February 14th. Thanks for listening to The Big Ticket. Come back next week when my guest is Diego Luna, star of Netflix, Narcos. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram @MarkMalkin. See you next time.